You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM. ESPN. Happy NBA full schedule release day to you, Memphis, on this Thursday, August 14th. Today we'll know when the Memphis Grizzlies will play the other 29 teams in the NBA. That's what we'll know. It's a yearly tradition. We love it. We need it. Unfortunately for this show, it won't come out until a little bit afterwards. Old Jeffrey Wright. He's gonna get the official rollout because I think it's 2:15-ish. Central time that we'll have the whole thing. We've had some morsels and some little bits here and there. Yeah. So we know a little bit, but we won't have the full schedule released until afterwards. But today is the day that it's all laid out there. And, you know, at some point, folks will go through and do one loss, one loss, one loss, one loss.
82 thinking, times.
I think we've abstained from that the last couple of years.
Good
and we'll
content,
see if we can
though.
Avoid it again. Always is, especially in slow times.
For real.
These are not slow times.
No.
These are not slow times.
No.
This is the reset of the Memphis sports calendar, essentially. And, you know, symbolically, The Athletic has released its annual FBS coaches tier rankings. It's the fourth year they've done it. Where's Ryan Silverfield? Where's he stacked
up?
Oh,
I'm interested.
I'll tell you what. Ryan Silverfield's going to like the news.
Oh.
I'll guarantee you he knows it already.
Very good.
Yes, yes. Ryan Silverfield will tell you where he's ranked and others, where his peers are ranked in the Athletic's recently released coaches tier, FBS coaching tier rankings. CBSSports.com, too, I just saw this. This just popped last 30 minutes or so, has made its prediction for the, we've got to update, Group of Six spot in the college football playoff. Obviously, with the Pac coming online in 2026, we're already calling it Group of Six.
Yeah.
And for that spot, we'll tell you who CBS Sports picked for that. Obviously, the college football playoff, 12 spots, one of them still reserved for the other guys. We used to call it the Group of Five champ. Now it's the Group of Six champ. Who was the pick there? We'll tell you who CBSSports.com picked. And big news, too, especially for, you know, local basketball junkies like me, long time. A Memphis area basketball prospect took a huge leap up ESPN's new basketball prospects rankings list. If you're not looking, this is the ESPN 2028-25. So it's only 25 guys. We're talking national rankings here. Yes, a local prospect. We'll tell you who that is later on in the show and talk quite a bit at that. I'll give you a little hint, Brett. He's been in this studio before.
I remember him.
I can't get nothing past you.
No, I remember you brought him in here. There was a couple of them in here.
You've been real sharp this week.
Mm-hmm.
We've
part
done
of it is his name too. It's an interesting, distinctive name.
I can tell you want to say it. Just go ahead and do it. He deserves the flowers.
Okoff.
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 DJ Okoff.
DJ Okoff. But DJ is a great couple of digits before the last name Okoth.
He is a 6'6" with a 6'10" wingspan already.
Yes.
He's a sophomore at Bartlett, and he's probably, in terms of the big ones, we'll talk about this. He's got a chance to be really highly ranked and had a big jump up the rankings yesterday that our man Chuck Lawson peeped out this morning. Before we get to all that, let me set up the show as far as guests, because we've got a busy one. 11:30, we will talk to Drew Hill, Grizzlies beat writer and columnist for the Daily Memphian, about the Grizzlies' schedule, at least what we know about it so far, what we can say, their NBA Cup group. And also, Jaren Jackson Jr., he's got a story about him and joining a crypto exchange company. He's got a story up over at DailyMemphian.com, so we'll discuss that. Also, Jaren's, you know, film session, it sounded like, with Kevin Garnett. What you can pick up there, we'll discuss that with Drew Hill about 11:30 at noon. We'll do the rundown. Athletic also did a redraft. You might have heard Jeff Calkins talking about it, of last year's NBA draft. Where do Zach Edey and Jalen Wells come in after having, what, first-team all-rookie seasons last year for the Memphis Grizzlies? We'll discuss that at 12:25. We'll be joined, it's a big one, in studio by Tennessee Collegiate Academy head coach Mike Wright.
Nice get by you.
Keep that finger ready, because we're going to need another round of applause. And TCA board member Travis King.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. King.
T. King. Some of the key cogs, obviously, behind this collaboration that Brad and I'm just going to be honest with you. And that, Brad, I got a pat on the back, and really I considered it for the both of us. They said we've been doing yeoman's work.
Yes, you
on
have.
No.
This is all you, Jason. You brought this to the show. I was excited as soon as I heard
you're
it.
Going to do this, but on Monday, were you not going through and screenshotting schedules and putting them out there with us and putting call out? I mean, you were right there with me in this real-time reporting.
Brother, you were on this.
We've been doing all week, and the plan was that by the end of the week, we would be totally filled in on the potential of this prep school powerhouse that's now going to be a part of the Nike EYBL Scholastic League. And there, it's a collab with Tipton Rosemark. They're handling the academic component, and we will learn hopefully so much more with their head coach, Mike Wright, and TCA board member, Travis King. Beautiful. Travis King's also agent. I think co-producer, too, of Penny's 2 Cents podcast. We're talking about one of the big movers and shakers. And then 125 or so. Our brother, our friend, Bennett Doyle, producer extraordinaire of the Gary Parrish Show on Grind City Media, will join us. And yes, I love hearing it. In his usual Thursday slot, it just gets me ready for Bennett Doyle at 125. We're going to talk Grizz, of course. We're going to talk his Titans.
Yes.
Because we've seen Cam Ward go on, out there. I want to see, I hear how excited, or maybe not.
Apparently, Cam Ward's been asserting himself at camp.
Dude, I like what I see.
Yes.
And I told people that aren't familiar with the Titans maybe have no idea, but they've got an offensive line, and we've discussed, there's reason to believe Cam's going to have a great year for them. Might not add up to wins, but absolutely add up to him looking like he should have gone number one like he did. So we'll talk to Bennett Doyle at 125. As you can see, lots to get to. Going to be a busy show. I think this is a 4-guest show that we're hitting you with. It's Grizzlies schedule release day. How about a little over-under?
Very excited for today's show.
Me
sneaky
too.
Fun week with this TCA development and a couple of great stories, and then of course the NBA.
Real quick, before you start us off, I've had some of the most fun days in these 9 years we've been doing this radio show this week.
Wow.
Just in terms of us doing this real-time reporting on a story that's not necessarily mainstream yet, but that we know will be here at some point. And heck, if we haven't already made it mainstream with as much as we've talked about it this week, but it's got my old reporter juices flowing.
Yes.
And so it's been fun to sort of take the cap off of this big story taking place out in Millington, Tennessee. And like I said, 12:25, we should be able to get a lot more information from Mike Wright and from Travis.
I know you're on to something, Jason. When I go home and my 17-year-old mentioned something that happened on the radio show, that's usually a good indication that it resonated.
This thing's buzzing.
Yeah, it's definitely with these high-level prep guys, and looking forward to having Travis and Coach Wright on the show later today.
Absolutely.
Lots to cover. We're going to talk about the Bartlett student. We'll talk about some other stuff, but let's start with Memphis football. And by the way, I want to clarify something.
What?
I think Memphis should win all of their games this year. Despite my take on the quarterback, despite the fact that everybody thinks I hate Ryan Silverfield, or we hate, you know, that is not the case.
Well, it sounded like somebody got off the radio and said, Brad, you sound like
a
Debbie Downer on Memphis football.
And I don't want to answer every tweet or X post that you get.
My.
But people, and a lot of listeners, and there are a lot of gotcha guys on the internet, And there can be nuance with some of our takes. In other words, you can say, man, it hasn't gone like we thought it would go, or Ryan Silverfield hasn't really been the coach I thought he would be. But that doesn't mean that you don't want him to be, and that doesn't mean that Brad or Jason or anybody on the radio station doesn't want him, because I promise you, and you know this, having done this show for like 8 or 9 years, we're better off when they win every damn game and they beat Arkansas at home and they're ranked. Like, that's, there's no cap on that. So just wanted to put that out. I put it out on social because I was getting like a couple of guys. I'm like, y'all, you can have multiple opinions about some subject and still want the team to do well and think they'll do well. I mean, the schedule is set up for them. So
Thank you for that statement.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hijack the show.
One thing I don't worry about anymore is what other folks think. I just worry about what the man
upstairs
thinks.
You can't doing this show.
Just say what you believe.
You guys are pros at this. So let's start with Ryan Silverfield. This is good news. The tier level that Memphis football coach Ryan Silverfield will be ranked by The Athletic after the 2025 Tigers football season. The number that we've set for the over-under is the fourth tier.
Because it's the fourth tier that Ryan Silverfield finds himself on right now after a move up from tier 5 to tier 4 following last season. So he's up. That's the good news for Ryan Silverfield. He's moved up into a grouping of tier 4 coaches that are characterized, or at least the way they listed, rising stars and steady hands. How would you characterize Ryan Silverfield of those two names in Tier 4? You would say he's a steady hand.
I think he's been a steady hand.
I mean,
hand.
Certainly steady hand more than rising star.
Yes.
And he has been. I mean, that's fact. It's a fair characterization of Ryan Silverfield and what he's done last year.
That's
go 11-2. You includes the bowl win over West Virginia. What is it, 21 wins the last two seasons.
Yep.
We know. We've talked ad nauseum about it. What's missing, which is the conference championship game appearance and title. But in terms of regular season wins, 21 last 2 years, that's why he gets the bump up from Tier 5, which Tier 5 is described as up and down. So you'd much rather be up at Tier 4. It's a nice bump up for Ryan Silverfield that obviously acknowledges the regular season success that he's had here at Memphis. The question, as Brad said, are we going to get a bump up from 4 and maybe, you know, under in this case is going to be, can he get up to tier 3? Over in this case is he dropping back down to up and down after this 2025 season? Or in this case, maybe for the first time in over under history, because I do think it's
a push.
I do think it's a possibility.
It's
here.
It's definitely a possibility.
I'm gonna give you a chance here to say stay.
Yeah.
And he stays right there in tier 4 as a steady hand.
So
what
over
do you think,
would be a 3, right? If I think he's going to go into the next tier of coaches, it would be a 3, and I'd say, or under, it would be under.
In this case, we're going to say under.
So I'm going to go under, and here's why.
Wow.
And I know.
You have flipped.
I am not flipping,
what?
Y'all.
You called me a flipper a few weeks back. That's not a flip move.
It's a fair characterization because I was texting with Gabe about this morning. He's like, let me read the text exchange with Gabe. It's important for context here.
Okay.
Because
I don't know why Brad Carson sounds much different than
and
yesterday.
His little takes have become. I said a Duke can have two opinions. They've underperformed. Ryan has been, you know, average, mid so far. The quarterback, in my opinion, is suspect. I also believe they can win out their schedule. Those two things can be true because you can have 3 in a row that you win. You can beat Arkansas at home, and you can have all of your best opponents at home and run out the schedule and go to the conference title game because you're in the American Conference. And you can also say, hasn't been like we thought it was. Last year you lost to Navy. Last year you lost to UTSA. So both of those things can be true. And also, as a result, if you win out the schedule or you do as well as I think they're going to do, based on the schedule, you'll go up to the third tier. What say you?
That was a lot. This is the way I would sum it up. Do I think they're going to go undefeated?
I think they're going to go undefeated.
I don't.
Who do they lose to? Tulane at home?
Again, there are, you know, at least if you're looking at what Vegas and Athlon and some of these other projects, there's 4 or 5 teams in the American that could win it this year. I know we don't look at it as a great football conference, but at the top, it's kind of wide open. I know Tulane is going to be expected probably to be back and to win it. We've talked about Navy being back with Horvath, UTSA with its offense. If Jeff Traylor can get him a defense, many have them projected. Memphis is one of those teams. So if you've got that many teams that the experts believe can win the title this year, the idea that you're going to run it, you're right.
Regular season. I'm not talking about the title game.
I'm not saying title, but your toughest AAC games, you're right, are at home. Still, that's a tough road to hoe. If this thing is as wide open as the experts would have you to believe, it's this. We've said it. I think you agree with me yesterday. The offense while it can be solid, will be taking a step back. You're not going to have a top 10, top 12 offense that you've had the last 2 years with Seth Hennigan, a guy who might be on an NFL roster by the time the training camp's done, with him
here's,
out of here.
Here's what
you're
going
to take a step
back. Here's
what
you convinced me of yesterday, because I heard you were glazing on Kramsey yesterday, right? I mean, that's fair.
Kramsey is a great offensive coordinator. Now, he's had an edge because he's had Seth Hennigan.
I still believe he's
paid $1 million. The guy's smart on offense and has been, yes.
But I also think if he's that smart, and I think I'll agree with you, he'll fix the offense. He'll change the offense. I'm telling you, Jason, if he's savvy, they're going to be coy about this. Maybe they'll run multiple quarterbacks, but they're going to run the ball, and they're going to have a lot of different looks. It's not going to be the same offense as last year, and I think it'll be a lot different.
We'll see if he's to move, in this case, the way we phrased it is down, under to tier three.
To which a better tier.
Which is high-level consistency is where the Athletic has that tier, the way they've broken down their tiers.
Yeah.
If he's to do that, he's got to make the conference championship game, right?
I agree with that.
You can't continue to move up. And again, credit to Silverfield that he's gone up here from 5-4 for this year. But he can't move up again without a conference championship game appearance. I don't know if it'll be undefeated, but I'm with you that they should be in it. Because, frankly, I'm looking for the most improvement on the defensive side of the ball. So long as this offense stays good to average, I think with a solid defense, again, you look at the level of player they brought in here through the transfer portal, you know, this should be a team that's competing with Navy, with Tulane. And, frankly, I'd love to say, hey, man, give Ryan Silverfield some time. We're not in that era. And, frankly, you're going into year six without a conference title game appearance. It's still go time. So there is no reset button. You've still got to make it. Expectations should remain high. And I'm not couching. I think probably just because, again, you're going to start, it feels like to me, 3-0. You got a good chance perhaps to beat Arkansas.
Yes.
He's not moving down. I'm going to stick with that he stays at four. It might be the first time in over and under J&J history that we've ever said stay. I'm staying at four.
Okay.
That he stays steady hand.
All right. But if they were to run out, you would give him that three.
If he gets to a conference championship game, especially after losing Seth Hennigan,
he's up a tier.
How can you not say it's high? I can't.
Yeah.
And he makes the championship. That's what's missing. That's why you can't give him high-level consistency.
No, you got to get there.
You could say that about regular season success, especially the last 2 years, but I can't give you that without the apparent. And I really need you to win it.
Yes.
I really need you to win it and be in contention with Boise State to make the college football playoff.
I hope they do. National ranking for Bartlett High School. This is in basketball. Sophomore DJ Okoff. By the time he's a senior, the national ranking and the number we've set for him is number 10 in the country.
So, if you didn't know about DJ, where you been? He was in studio a couple years ago. We had him. Was it a couple
he
years
might have
ago?
Been
last
a rising
summer.
Freshman, maybe.
Rising freshman, I think at that point, coming out of Elmore Park along with Braylon, with his teammate Braylon Williams. We had him in studio, and we were talking about, you know, the high school teams that were going to be after them because they were the next big thing. And according to ESPN, who did its re-rankings of its 2026, 27, and 28 prospects, and those numbers get shorter as you get further out because obviously for the guys like DJ, class of 2028 is on further down the line, so it's a top 25 for their top 2028 class. Oh, by the way, Marcus Spears' kid is number one.
Really?
Yeah, in 27.
Yeah, I bet he's a load.
I think his wife too played in the WNBA.
Okay.
So, and Marcus Spears before he was an NFL guy was a basketball player too. This dude's unbelievable. Marcus Spears was here for the Memphis EYBL session. That's a side note and something part of it, but anyway, he's on GetUp. He's one of my favorite analysts, everything else. I think we've had him on the show. His kid is actually number 1 in the country. Back to DJ because this is a huge story. Yeah. Can he get to number 10? He's number 13. After moving up yesterday to number 13 in the country, according to ESPN. If you don't know him, 6'6", 185-pound small forward. Had been with Team Thad on the EYBL circuit, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and folks can straighten me out, played with Alabama Fusion this past summer and blew the heck up. He just had a monster EYBL circuit session and has jumped up to number 13 in the country. The question here is, can he get to top 10? I mentioned to you earlier, he's already got a 6'10 wingspan, which is what, I mean, you know, he's got the type of body and can still grow into that body that whether it's college, head coaches, pro scouts look at and go, wow, that's it. That's the prototype. He's got the bounce. He's got, again, the physical attributes with the arm link and everything else, and he could very likely keep growing. You know, super smart. Most of these guys, you don't worry about, you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. But anyway, we've had him in, unbelievable young man, and what a rise for him in terms of up to number 13 now in the country. I'm saying this to get you ready. This looks like next big thing in terms of, you know, coming, born here, coming out of here. I'm pretty sure this is a mostly Memphis raised story. I'm pretty sure the Okots are from here. This is the next big one. Maybe going back to, I don't know. I mean, do we count James Wiseman because he was Nashville before here?
I guess he's kind of 10. in that Musa Cisse transferred in kind of vibes. But he went to, no, he was at East. I mean, he was at East with Penny.
Those last couple of years, I think it was.
Yeah, I mean,
Penny's last year he had gone to, he was already at Memphis, remember? That's why the NCAA wanted to take a look at it or whatever else.
Wiseman homegrown. Why not?
Either way, point being, this is the next big thing. Yeah. He's continuing to grow and frankly, it's exciting to think about where he could end up. This one's, can he be number 10? Can he be top 10 time he's a senior? If he's number 13 right now, heck yeah, he can. He keeps having off seasons like he did this year on the EYBL circuit. He's going to be top 10. And so I'm going to go ahead and give it to him. I'm going to go under here that he gets up into the top 10, whether it's 9, whether it's 8, maybe it's even higher. But this is one you'll want to keep your eye on. Right now, as far as I know, he's still at Bartlett going into his sophomore season. But this will be one. And we, you know, maybe this is not something we're talking at 12:25 about with the Tennessee Collegiate Academy folks because DJ's not on the roster. But this will be one. This is one of those kinds of prospects that the other, you know, powerhouses in the country, Montverde, Aspire, all those would say, "Hey, we're going into Memphis and we're getting him, and we're going to have him play in the IMG. We're going to have him play a national schedule." Well, now if you've got a school like TCA in the backyard, you know, right now, as far as I know, still scheduled to be at Bartlett this year, but he'll be one of those guys that'll, you know, there'll be a fight over long before there's a fight over him from college coaches. There'll be another fight for him. There was a fight for him by high school coaches.
I think you're right on this. He's got the chance to be in a top 10 because look at his rise so far. He's already jumped into the teens, and he wasn't in the teens like just a year or so ago. I'm looking at a grassroots ranker here. By the way, talking about some of these high-ranked kids, there's a kid, the Dampier, Junior Dampier.
Yeah, Eric Dampier's kid.
Eric Dampier played he played against Mark Pope. He's in that era, wasn't he? Like in the mid-90s. I forget who he played for. But
Mississippi State.
That's right. Of course.
Pretty sure Dampier's Mississippi State.
So, and he's a great player. So I gotta assume his kid who's on this list is also amazing. He's right around that area in the top 20. But I gotta think based on his rise that Okoth has gotta be in looking at the top 10. The one thing I was thinking about was looking at some of these prep schools too. That was an interesting point.
Well, now you got one that's maybe fighting for him just to keep him here.
Right.
See, that's the whole point of this story is that maybe this is a national prep school powerhouse right here in your backyard that's keeping these prospects right here in town. Here's the deal. For DJ, it was a 10-spot jump from number 23 to number 13.
Wow.
So you better believe. And it's a lot of it is the physical attributes. It's, yes, how good he's getting, his development, everything else, but it's what he brings to the table from a physical standpoint. The 6'10 wingspan's only going to get, you know, broader.
Wider.
It's only going to get wider, proper way to say it. It's only going to get wider. Probably be over 7 feet by the time he's done. That's that Jalen Williams. That's that body type, that prototype that folks want, and the NBA certainly wants. So a salute and a Thursday respect burger to DJ Okoth. For the rise up the rankings, probably going to be continued. And, number 13 for the class of 2028, Bartlett sophomore, absolute stud out there. We're going to talk to another stud. His name is Drew Hill. He is the Daily Memphians Grizzlies beat writer and columnist. We will talk to him about stories he's got up about Jaren Jackson Jr., about the upcoming schedule release, that and a lot more. You listen to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His name is Drew Hill. He does it all for the Daily Memphian, Grizzlies beat writer and columnist for them. Read him and listen to his podcast at dailymemphian.com. You can follow him on X at @DrewHill_DM. And Drew, we'll start right here. How do you have time when the Grizzlies schedule is about to come out and you're talking about Jaren Jackson and crypto and writing about that to write about Taylor Swift performing on Beale back in the day? How do you have time for it all?
So there's a story behind how this happened. We had a meeting. We had a company meeting. What day was that? I guess that was Tuesday because the podcast came out yesterday, right? So we had a company meeting Tuesday. And as part of the company meeting, like we have typical company meetings, newsroom-wide meetings. We were talking about like headlines, and if you know anything about the journalism space and internet space, like so much of it now is consumed with like using keywords so that search engines will find your stories and your stories will get better placement on social media and that sort of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of nuance to it that people I don't think that don't exist in the world would not understand. But we were joking afterwards, after having our company-wide meeting, we were joking about what we could write about this week that would be popular among what is discussed on the internet. And I was in the newsroom with a few other people, and I was like, I don't know what it is, but if we can find a way to put Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on a headline, I feel like people will automatically want to read about that. Like, you know? And so we laughed about it for a little bit, and I was like, I actually do wonder if I could write something about Travis Kelce. So I started going down the Travis Kelce wormhole, trying to figure out, like, you know, what I could write. And then I realized he never really played in Memphis. There weren't any connections there. And I was like, well, Taylor Swift has definitely performed here a few times. And so what started with me maybe going, hey, I wonder if there's any fun stories to be told about the last time Taylor Swift played here, because she is a massive deal.
Like, yes, it's the world's biggest story. No, I get it. I respect it to your point. Yes,
I'm not a huge Swiftie, but my wife likes Taylor Swift. I wouldn't consider her in the upper echelon of Taylor Swift fans, but she's probably the tier below that. Like, she's not totally crazy Taylor Swift fan, but she'll listen to the new album like the day that it comes out, no question. So I was like, all right, well, I wonder what I can find about the times Taylor Swift has played in Memphis just because this feels really timely right now. This is the biggest thing going in the world and sports world. And so I came across this wonderful story about Grace Peters, the daughter of Tommy Peters, RIP, who founded or who got B.B. King's off the ground there in on Beale Street. Yep. And put the first neon sign on Beale Street. And then later, several years later, like 15 years later, opened up Itabina, which is obviously a fine dining restaurant off of Beale Street. It's like a speakeasy type place. You got to go up the fire escape off of 2nd Street to get to the restaurant. You typically need reservations, I think, to get in there and eat. And so, you know, a place that people are familiar with. But I had no idea that Taylor Swift had been inside of Itabina back in 2007. And it just turned out to be a really great story, I thought, because so many, you know, people know Taylor Swift. Like, even if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, I think it's a big deal, like, to be like, hey, did you know Taylor Swift was on Beale Street playing music? And the story turned out to be pretty cool, because she was actually there for a photo shoot for Justine Magazine. And there was only about 10 people in there. Justine Magazine was an old teen girls magazine in the city. And I don't think that it still is publishing. I would hate to be wrong about that, but I don't believe it is. And so she was here, and she ended up playing for those 10 people on Beale Street all the way back in 2007. Taylor Swift was 17 years old, but pretty cool story there, and all the details of how it came to be and all of that over at the Daily Memphian. I knew it was going to do well. It did really well. And it is exploded on the Daily Memphian Instagram page, because there's a video of Taylor Swift playing music inside of Itabina on the Daily Memphian's Instagram page. So you can go check that out if you are a Swiftie.
You are an absolute horse for the DM. Way to capitalize on the world's biggest story. There is no question about it. You've also written about Jaren Jackson Jr. And even with what looks like it maybe still be a boot, you can correct me if I'm wrong, still on that foot for that toe. He's kept himself pretty busy this offseason between your news with the crypto stuff. And then obviously we saw too, you know, film sessions with KG. How busy has he been, Drew?
He's been very busy. It's hard to keep up, honestly. I try my best to keep up with everything that he does. You know, I've done a lot of stories in the past with Jaren. I've been really thankful for Jaren giving his time to do all those stories about all the other stuff he does in his life. So I try to check in and keep up with it as best I can. That's always hard because he's doing so much. The crypto stuff is interesting to me because this is not a world in which I'm very educated in. I'll be the first one to raise my hand and admit that. I feel like someone like John is probably a little bit better.
That's where I get my education on it from. Game. Oh no, I get all my education on it from John. And I remember all the money he lost. Right? Remember he lost his key. He told the story. So he's already lost money in the game. He still wishes he had it. Yes, but we're fairly familiar with it through him and his experiences.
So I'm not a huge crypto guy, but it's been fascinating to see the way that the crypto has gotten involved with the NBA. Mm-hmm. So in 2021, the NBA signed an exclusive partnership deal with Coinbase. That's the league overall signed it with Coinbase, which is crypto exchange. And then we all know that Staples Center changed their name to crypto.com that same year in 2021. I don't think people call it that. I think people still call it Staples Center, but that is the official name of the arena. But like Jaren joins now a pretty elite list of players that have crypto partnerships. Like LeBron has a crypto partnership. Joel Embiid has a crypto partnership. Steph Curry has a crypto partnership, all with different companies. And so, you know, it speaks to Jaren's status that one of these crypto exchange companies, which they're obviously only going after the biggest players in the game, is wanting to have Jaren be the global ambassador for their brand. So, I think it's a pretty big deal. And, like, it's crazy. I didn't even know this until I started digging into this a little bit more, but the Kings and the Mavs accept cryptocurrency as a form of payment for tickets. So, like, you can go buy
It's all
Mavs
real now.
Tickets with Bitcoin. It's crazy.
I know. I feel like in listening to John and his early experiences, I've said, well, I'll just stay out of it forever, and that's probably been a mistake. It's probably been a mistake for us old dinosaurs because in the end, it's like you're mentioning, I mean, if a couple NBA teams are doing it, it's going to be everybody. This is going to be the world in a little while, it feels like, this comeback that it's made. That's the little bit I know. That's the little bit of education it feels like I have on this stuff. It's real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see where it goes. I mean, the Grizzlies, like Robin Hood is a stock exchange, and Robin Hood's super involved with the Grizzlies. I guess it's somewhat the same.
He's also one of the things I didn't mention that he's done. He's changed his number, right? Is this symbolic? Is it year 8? Is that why we're doing it? Is it more? Is it it's Dad's number 2? I think, if I'm not mistaken, the number change. How significant is this for Jaren?
It's year 8, and it's somewhat related to Dad.
Okay.
Dad, Senior wore
different number
8.
Okay.
For one season.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
he wore different numbers, but
that's
he wore it for one season with the Clippers. And so,
gotcha.
Like, I mean, I don't want to take away from the story because if Jaren has said this, it's like Jaren has, you know, made it clear that part of the reason why he did the number change was to feel that connection with his dad and his dad's playing career. You know, his dad did only wear it for one season. I think people will mostly remember Senior as number 2 because that's the number he wore when he won the championship with San Antonio. But, yeah, I haven't I tried to get in touch with Jaren Senior. I haven't heard back from him yet. But, you know, that's obviously pretty cool that they are you know, wanting to sort of have that bond. And Jaren Senior – it's so funny because he comes to some of these games. He sits behind, like, where DeMichael and I and Pete and Brevin sit occasionally. Like, he moves around a little bit, but there's been a few times he sits, like, in the section behind us. I don't know if there's a louder, more involved Grizzlies fan than Senior.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously, he's out there giving it to the ref.
Yep. A little spittle come out of that mouth, a little spittle because he's into it, you know, and it's just
He's coaching from the sideline. Mm-hmm. Like, he is such a character. Like, that was one thing I was really, like, happy to, you know, get to do is, like, learn about the relationship between Jaren and his dad. And, like, if you want to know where Jaren's sort of humor comes from and the ability to be both jovial and serious, it's from Dad. Like, Dad is quite the character, and it's always fun when he's in the building because, you know, nobody is harder on Jaren and nobody cheers louder for Jaren than Senior does.
No question. We're talking, of course, to the Daily Memphians, Drew here on J&J. Let me ask you about this. You know, we won't get the schedule released fully until after the show, so I can't ask you, okay, well, how tough's this stretch going to be, this opening stretch, without perhaps Zach Edey and Jaren Jackson? But what did you make of the NBA Cup grouping that the Grizzlies are in with the Lakers, Clippers, Pelicans, and Mavs? What did you make of that group the Grizzlies are in?
It's somewhat of a fun group. I think, you know, with the Lakers and the Clippers, it's a hard group to win just because that those teams we expect are going to be very good. I think the Mavs are the least going to be very interesting next year. So I got nothing on the Pelicans. Sorry, Pelicans. Like, the Pelicans just don't interest me at all. But I think in terms of, you know, getting marquee games, and we know that these cup games are always going to be like national TV. They're going to be a big deal. They're going to be made to be a big deal by the league. The league's going to go out of their way to make it that way. To have those games be also against marquee opponents, like two teams that I think are going to have a lot of interest this year in the Lakers and the Mavs. And then, you know, the Clippers, I think we expect to be good. They don't have quite the same brand, but they're going to be good. And so it gives you, I think it's beneficial to have your cup games come against teams that already have a big brand or are games that fans already would have been excited about. So, yeah, I think it's you know, it may be a difficult draw in terms of winning, but I think it's a fun draw in terms of fan experience.
Brad and I, we were discussing this a couple of days ago, and we felt pretty good, same as you, obviously, about being above New Orleans if you're the Memphis Grizzlies and looking at this grouping. Where are you at on Grizzlies versus Mavericks? If you look at some of the Vegas odds, they've got the Mavericks ahead of the Grizzlies in terms of where they will be in the standings. What do you think of that Mavericks team and how it sort of matches up?
I think the Mavericks are kind of a mystery because Kyrie's coming off the knee, and Cooper Flagg is going to be a rookie, and he's probably going to be awesome, but he's not going to be at the peak of his powers. But, like, do we really know, like, how good he's going to be right out of the gate? Like, is he going to be an all-star level player who feels like he's, like, top 10 of the league elite immediately? I don't know. I feel like that the chances are lower on that. So I think that it all sort of depends on, one, how far along Cooper Flagg is. You know, he was totally deserving of being the number one overall pick, but is he going to be an immediate, like, all-star level player? And two, what does Kyrie look like if he gets back on the court? So I think the Mavs are a little bit more of a mystery. I think the Grizzlies, you know, are in the same boat just because of the health of Ja. But if you stipulated that the Grizzlies are going to be healthy and you're going to get 60, 65 games out of Ja, I think I would give a very slight edge to Memphis there.
Who's the third best player on that Grizzlies team that's ahead slightly of that Mavericks team? Who would it have to be in your estimation? Who would it end up being?
That's a great question. I mean, probably Zach Edey.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Zach Edey. I think, you know, we've kind of put him back of mind because we know he's going to miss significant time to start the season. But there was real optimism, especially going into the offseason, that he was going to be an impact player for this team. I think there's a couple other candidates. I think the other candidates would be like Cedric Coward and Santi. Like, I think that those are probably those guys are, it feels like they have untapped potential still. And, like, I know Santi can be a little bit controversial because people don't like the playing style, and sometimes it's a little bit polarizing, but the talent is there. He's only 25 years old, right? Like, there's still room for improvement. We've seen flashes of it being really good, especially at the beginning of last season, and then moments where it's sort of faded out and he hasn't played as big of a role. But I think he's like a dark horse in terms of, like, maybe he makes a leap. We talk about it every year, but maybe this is the year and he becomes your third best player. I think it's probably most likely to be Zach Edey, though. I think Zach Edey's physical tools are not going anywhere. As long as he comes back and the ankle is good and he's strong and, like, it feels like he's able to, you know, keep this momentum up, I feel optimistic about Zach Edey's upcoming season.
Let's stay on him because it feels so important. With him out to start the year, how close do you think they'll be able to come to replicating with Jock Landale? You can tell me how they'll do it. Replicating the style that Isolo clearly wants. And we saw it once he became head coach. I mean, once Edey was back in their starting lineup, you know, Ja's getting that space again. And so we know what he wants. He won't have it to start the year. How close do you think they can come to that? Do you start playing an entirely different way? And, oh, we'll get to that foundational style once Edey's back. I mean, if Edey's out too long, I don't know if you can afford to do that. How do you sort of see that shaping up?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that close because I think Zach Edey's really the only player on the roster that's capable of playing like Zach Edey. I think that the Grizzlies – and, like, look, we've talked about this. Isolo prides himself on being a prognosticator, somebody that can sort of diagnose the problems and then find a solution to fix them.
Yep.
And he's not married to his way of thinking.
You've written about that. Yep.
And
yep.
Yeah, and so if that is indeed true, then this Grizzlies team should think about trying to play a way in which they can win early in the season. The other thing about this is, Jason, we just don't have that much time to wait around on this team anymore.
Right.
Because Ja and Jaren are you know, in their primes right now, exactly, at this point in their careers. We've wondered out loud. We've talked about it a million times. It's the number one question as we enter this Grizzlies season is this, and I think I said this last week with John, and I'll repeat it with you. Like I compared this to a car, right? The Grizzlies are a car that just left the mechanic. Is this car turning around and going to the dealership for a trade-in? Or is this car getting on the on-ramp and driving down the highway and keep continuing in this direction, and everybody feels good about them getting to where eventually they want to go, which is a Western Conference Finals, a championship, that sort of thing? We don't know which direction this car is going yet, because we haven't seen the car attempt to drive. and that is what is so important. It's like, you don't have November, December, January to waste with this team where you feel like, you know, the team is headed in the wrong direction because you're trying so hard to stick to a specific style and it's not working and you're losing games. Like this whole season is predicated around making sure that they can make progress and move forward and make everyone feel better about the direction of the franchise. And I feel like it would be a mistake not to try to play to win and try to play to play your style. I like that. That would be, to me, the wrong decision. And so, no, I don't think Jock Landale is going to be able to do exactly what Zach Edey did. Now, do I think that there's going to be certain schematic things that they will be able to continue to use? Yes. Like, I think they're still going to do a ton of screen and roll. It may not be as effective, but, you know, when Zach Edey is available for the Grizzlies, I think it's important that Memphis tries to utilize him. When Zach Edey is not available for the Grizzlies, I think it's important that Memphis has to figure out a way to cover that absence, yep, as best as possible. And if that's playing a different way, then that's what it is. Because we can't just continue to waste progress here. We need to make it feel like this team is headed in the right direction.
I could not agree more. I'm sticking with your car analogy, and I'm thinking about if they have to go back to the dealership. Drew, how would you sum up sort of their options at that point, their flexibility, whether it's with assets, right? And let's just, I mean, we're getting way forward here. I'm going way down the line, but let's just say you have to take it back. How would you sum up assets, flexibility, movable contracts, my options once I'm back at the dealership?
Well, if you're going back to the dealership, I mean, you might be going for the full trade-in.
For the big boy trade-in. Like, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
That'd be a full rebuild, right?
Yep.
Or you may say, you know, whatever we just had done, it's not working. We're still hearing this rattle. Like, it's uncomfortable. The brakes aren't working quite as well as we thought. Like,
right.
And you double check to see. Like, that, I suppose that's an option. Mm-hmm. And maybe that comes later. Maybe that doesn't come right, you know, this season. But it does feel like an important season for this test drive, as we're saying. Like, and so, yeah, there's options. But I think the option that everybody wants to avoid, because we all like this car, right? We like Jaren. We like Ja.
Absolutely.
We want this team to be successful. We don't want to have to sit around and wait for a full rebuild or anything like that. And I'm not saying that the team is close to this. Like, I want to be super clear. Like, I'm not saying that it's close to this. But, like, we have to make sure that this team can drive, right? We need to make sure that this team can move down the road and feel better about it. Otherwise, that does come into the picture. And so to me, that's the big question entering this season is, like, what is this team? Is this a team that does have the tools to build around to feel good enough to that you can make progress and you can get to a Western Conference Finals and win in two playoff series? Or is it going to feel like this car is driving the wrong way and, you know, more drastic changes need to be made? At that point, yeah, you alluded to it. Like, that means trading big-time assets. Mm-hmm. That means trading real players on your roster at that point, if you're trying to make this maneuver. The Grizzlies have already tinkered with it. They already traded Desmond Bane. But we just don't know what the results of that are going to look like. And I think it's pretty important that they prove that this is going to be a good thing in the end.
I mean, that's really well put. I saw where the Athletic redrafted last year's NBA draft, and Zach Edey was up to 8 from 9, and then you had Jalen Wells at 9, moving way up, obviously, from the second round. I'm just curious. They still had Klingon above Zach Edey. Would you agree with that assessment by the Athletic? I think it was Vicini.
Yeah, I think that I think it's fair. Like, I don't think it's preposterous or anything to say that, because Klingon last year for a longer stint of the season was a more statistically productive player than Zach Edey was. But I think if you are putting it into true context and you watch what Zach Edey did towards the end of last season and sort of the way that he really came along under Isolo, I think that there's reason for optimism to say in the end, Zach Edey will end up being a better player. But I don't think I can, like, shake my fist at Sam Vecenie and say, how could you possibly do this? Like, I think it was pretty close last year. And, you know, from a numbers perspective, Klingon was right there with Edey the whole year, if not a little better for a bigger portion of the year. So I get it. But I in the end, I think Edey will end up being the better player.
I had a bigger issue, it felt like, with Reed Sheppard still being at four. He's drafted three. He only dropped him a spot. We didn't see much of him. But and Vecenie said he knew he'd take the majority of hate from his list about that. That Reed Sheppard four, does it you still bank Reed Sheppard? You still like the future for him?
I mean,
if you ever did, I'm not saying you did. I should have rephrased that.
No, I did. Okay. I did. Okay. No, I gotta own that.
Like, okay, I thought so.
Be a really good NBA player. I'm at the point now where you can't fully write it off because, like, he looked good in summer league and, like, he's played really well in the G League. But is he still at four? Four feels a little high, at this point. Yeah. It doesn't mean he's going to not be a good player. Like, I think there's a real chance that he does end up being a really good player. And we forget the context on things all the time. We just think about the present. But Reed Sheppard was a freshman at Kentucky, an unheralded freshman at Kentucky when he arrived there. Like, the recruiting sites that were ranking players did not have him as, like, a top five player in his high school recruiting class. And then he kind of just popped out of nowhere and ended up becoming a top pick. I think that, you know, it's certainly possible that he hit some sort of huge leap and then it's going to be a slower progression from there now that he's in the NBA. I still think he can end up being a good player, but I think four is pretty high for Reed Sheppard. But, you know, summer league's good. G league's good.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of players that can play at that level but can't play in the NBA. You know? It's like 4A in baseball.
No, you're right. I can't let you get out of here without asking you where you're at on our quarterback, Caleb Williams. Were you concerned that we didn't see him in the first preseason game? Supposed to see him this weekend. What do you think?
No, I'm not concerned because this kind of follows a trend of Ben Johnson in the past. I feel extremely good about Ben Johnson.
Of course.
Like, I think everything that I've seen, and just, like, I know it was all backups, but the way that they moved the ball against the Dolphins, you know, after a slow first quarter, but the way that they sort of bounced back, and, like, I liked the play calling. I thought, you know, they did a good job there. Like, I feel so good about Ben Johnson. I feel less good about Caleb. I just don't know if the processing is ever going to come around, because you listen to the reporting out of camp and it's just like, he holds the ball too long. He holds the ball too long. He holds the ball too long. And that just seems to be the toxic trait of Caleb Williams. And I don't know if they'll ever be able to sort of shake him out of that. I still think he's going to be better this year than he was last year because of Ben Johnson, because the play calling is going to be better. I think they're going to run the ball more. I think the line's going to be better, but I don't know if he's going to be an elite of the elite quarterbacks, somebody that would have been worthy at taking at that number one pick in the end. So I'm not as confident in Caleb, but I do think that the Bears are going to be better just because of Ben Johnson.
No, I agree completely. You see, the Dolphins couldn't punch it in against our backups from the goal line. If I'm the Dolphins, that just tells me everything I need to see right there. They're still not physical. They're all finesse. I know this is a whole nother take, but I was proud of our twos there with that little goal line stand. Sound like you watched it.
Yeah, no, I think I watched the full thing.
Yeah.
I think the defense is going to be
good.
Pretty good.
Yes.
The Bears are going to be totally different. This is the number one thing. I'm just tired of being embarrassing and boring. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm tired of, like, every time the Bears are on national TV, in the primetime game that my friends are like, oh God, we got to watch the
right.
Bears.
Incompetence. You know, like, it's been incompetence. Right. We want to see something professional out there. That's what we brought Ben Johnson.
Right. And so yes. I think with Ben Johnson's play calling, they're going to be able to move the ball better just naturally. With Caleb in year two, they're going to be able to move the ball better. But Dennis Allen is going to be way different than the Bears of old, too. They're going to blitz a lot more. Oh, they're going to have a lot of exotic looks. Like, the Bears are going to be a lot less boring this season for certain. So that part of it will be fun.
Got me sticking my chest out. Dennis Allen, he's in his rightful role, that defensive coordinator role. It's where he excels. So I'm very excited about our defense. Drew, appreciate you, man, as always. Keep up the great work.
Yep.
He is Drew
Thanks,
Hill.
Jason. Appreciate
yes, sir.
It.
Appreciate yep. you, brother. Make sure you're following all of Drew Hill's work over at DailyMemphian.com. He does it all, as we said, writes about Jaren Jackson Jr., also writes about the biggest story in the world right now. It's a sports story, too, because of a relationship with Travis Kelce, but the Swiftie album. This man writes a story about Swift's performing down on Beale. He does it all for the Daily Memphian, an absolute horse. We've got a lot more to do, including the rundown. We'll talk more about that redraft that the Athletic did. More, too, about the tier ranking of coaches. We mentioned Ryan Silverfield in that 4 tier for the Athletic. That's a move up. We'll talk about some of those other coaches. That and a lot more on a packed, packed Jason and John show. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.